the industrial will generate three times the peak hour traffic than the residential will. When compared on a daily basis, they might be equal. Residential traffic is over the course of the day, a little bit higher in the afternoon and the evening. Industrial has a peak hour, a tremendous peak hour traffic movement. So you could actually see a difference in traffic along Hillsborough, for instance, a greater daily volume because of different types of traffic movements, but less traffic in the peak direction because people will be coming in one direction, maybe from I-75 towards Pioneer Grove Center, as opposed to leaving Pioneer Grove Center, employees leaving at 5 o'clock, going out in the opposite direction. So there's going to be a lot of changes in the traffic patterns. I think the volume of traffic that we see here is probably equal in terms of the amount of traffic being generated because of the shift in the use pattern. It's really going to be a function of how that is dispersed over the roadways during the peak hour.
Okay. Quick question now on the level of service. Is that based on peak hours or is that overall?
It's peak hour. Levels of service typically are peak hour, and in most agencies it's by the peak direction because that's the worst period of the day, worst hour of the day, and it's in the worst direction of traffic.
Okay. And as a consultant, have you ever been in a situation where you look at a traffic study and say, you just can't really develop here, you're just going to be gridlocked? Or is it that we look at a different methodology to make it work?
Well, typically what happens is that their improvements are necessary. When a parcel comes in for development, at the parcel level, a land developer comes in and wants to make an improvement, wants to build a shopping center, wants to build an apartment complex. An analysis is done. If it was done at the rezoning stage, it may have already been rezoned, but certainly at the development order stage, the developer is required to submit a traffic study, determine what the levels of service are, what impacts they will have on that level of service. Now, state law now says that these developers are responsible for impacts that he creates. He's not responsible for backlog deficiencies. So the cities and the counties and the state have a responsibility to try to make sure that they have plans in place to improve facilities. But if there are improvements that are necessary for a developer to move forward, they have the obligation to make those improvements. Otherwise, they don't get their development order.
But that's by parcel.
Yes, that would be at the development level, parcel level.
Okay. I'll yield the rest.
Mr. Friedel.
Hi. You may not know the answer to this question, but is there a higher rate of traffic collisions when there's a higher rate of heavy machinery with regular vehicles that you're aware of?
You're right. I don't have an answer to that question.
Because my question would be, since this location is so closely next to an industrial zone, and the previous speaker said they do have a lot of heavy machinery, I'm concerned that there might be traffic collisions, maybe due to people not liking being behind heavy machinery, or there being a lot of it on the road, and those are big machines that they're not the ones that are going to get hurt in an accident.
Right.
And that's my concern there.
Right. And they're probably not causing the accident.
I wouldn't say that they would. The fact that they're all together in one area in these peak hours, you know, I do actually leave for work at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
And that would be my question and concern when it comes to traffic.
I can make one comment on that. Obviously, again, because of where I live and there's a lot of activity going on at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood, and they actually use the end of our neighborhood for staging area. A lot of times, if it's the contractors directly, in this case, this gentleman's business, I'm sure he has a robust safety program for his drivers and his people because it's his stuff, his equipment. When you have subcontractors coming up all over the state with dump trucks one after the other, then you have a bigger problem and a bigger concern. Now, jumping off of that, thank you, brings me to two questions, and I haven't forgot about Commissioner Gantz. I'm going to let him bring up the end of discussion for the city. In particular, getting back to something Commissioner Long was saying, is part of the lack or this Pioneer Grove development, do you have an overlay for things like multimodal, bicycle lanes, things like that as part of the development of this area that you've talked about, antique and history and whatever else, are those components in the programs that when a individual parcel owner comes into the LAC and says, okay, I'm going to buy this business and turn into residential, oh, by the way, I have to pay for a bus stop out front because the plan calls for multimodal and I have to comply? Is that already there? I heard him saying there are opportunities for it. I'm again trying to find due notice, constructive notice process that people can see what it is they're getting into.
Well, thank you. That's a great question. And something I'd like to bring up is the city of Deerfield Beach is the first city to do a complete streets program in the county. And we're very proud of that. And an element of the Pioneer Grove LAC that was omitted from what you received was the improvements that are occurring in our area for complete streets, and especially for Hillsborough Boulevard. Hillsborough Boulevard is receiving major changes over the next couple of years in regards to the complete streets program, including roads within Pioneer Grove, such as 2nd Avenue, 4th Street, it's not 4th Avenue, and some other roadways. So a lot of the concerns that I know we're bringing forward today, the city has taken very seriously over the last few years and has implemented a long-range plan to alleviate this congestion. This is the main neck of our tourist area, people going to the beach. You know, the city looks at Hillsborough Boulevard, especially from 95 East, very seriously as a means not just for people to go to work and come home, but also our robust tourist industry to make it to our barrier island. And if you've ever been east of Federal on Hillsborough, you will see our first phase of our Complete Streets program that will be continued westward and throughout the Pioneer Grove area. I briefly mentioned earlier an infrastructure program that the city is putting together. That infrastructure plan will identify all of these concerns that you're having within the Pioneer Grove area as far as walkability and bikeability. At this moment in time, we have not made a decision as to how in which those items will be handled, whether it will be something that will happen through the city's investment, or if it's on a per parcel basis, or if it will be in some sort of impact fee. That has not been decided. That's a decision that, again, goes above my pay grade. But those elements are on the table, and that is something that the city has been working for probably actually longer than the Pioneer Grove concept has been in design.
A part of the planning process, also getting back to what Mr. Fidel was saying, the heavy trucks versus light cars. You know, traffic signaling and flow can make a huge difference of whether you're setting these up for accidents or not. In my personal experience, if I've got the trucks have the right of way, chances are I'm going to get smushed. If the vehicles have the right of way and the trucks have to obey it, it's a little bit easier to enforce and keep people safe. Is that part of the plan or any consideration of the traffic flow?
Well, I can tell you that signalization is part of the plan, that we're currently working with FDOT on signalization for Hillsborough Boulevard. Okay. We're also working with the FEC right now over the quiet zone changes that we made. Those quiet zone changes actually changed the traffic pattern. So yes, it's happening. I can tell you that I'm not completely familiar with the CRS daily use of how their trucks moving back forward. I will speak to the owner and discuss that issue with him and see what can be done, because it is a concern.
Okay. And you might want to speak to him about some of the other concerns he has. Anybody else before I
Thank
turn
you.
Over? I'm sorry. Go ahead. To Commissioner Gans. Okay. Commissioner Gans, you're up.
Thank you. Sorry for being late today. To address several points, first I just want to say this. As a city commissioner in the city of Deerfield Beach, I'm kind of switching my hats off and on this. Our goal is not to run long-standing businesses out of the city of Deerfield Beach. I can assure you that if CSR Construction was located in Lighthouse Point or Pompano, I'd be doing my best to try to lure them to come to Deerfield Beach and stay. So that is really our goal. I'm very aware of the compatibility issues, having represented the western portion of Deerfield Beach that surrounds Mount Trashmore, and with Independence Bay and waterways communities that were told by real estate development and real estate agents that that would be a bird sanctuary within 5 years. That was 20 years ago. It was going to be an alpine skiing type facility. So the creativity by if the creativity is left to the real estate agents, I think we're going to have some issues. The goal is, this is not a land grab, let's pack as many people as we can thing for the city of Deerfield Beach. This is about the longstanding ability for us to be able to redevelop what is a grown-out city. It's not unique to the city of Deerfield Beach, and it's not unique to Broward County. I do find it a little interesting that some of the arguments that are being made here, all of them which are very valid, are a little different than what I've heard in other communities when similar types of things have been brought forward. So it's interesting to hear those arguments, and refreshing in some ways. As far as it goes to affordable housing, the city of Deerfield Beach is unique compared to other cities in that we do have a large amount of affordable housing. As a matter of fact, if you look, it says right here, V1, I guess you could call it, excuse me, 5-1. Substantial inventory of affordable housing within a half-mile radius of the LAC area. And actually, if you go further into this, it talks about, the analysis illustrates that the majority, 95% in fact, of the current housing stock meets some level of affordability, with almost half, 47%, the current housing stock meeting the very low affordable housing price of up to $115,000. So the affordable housing issue is not a problem when it comes to this right here. We have our fair share of affordable housing. This city is not looking to try to pile as many people in as possible. We just recently turned down, before it even got to the in front of this board, a project that was going to put over 1,200, I believe 600 units in a 4-acre parcel right on Dixie Highway and 15th Street. It was very controversial, and it's the gentleman who was up here before was referencing, Mr. Acton was talking about that. That is something that he opposed, and the commission opposed that because it wasn't compatible. It had long-term traffic issues for us and didn't look to fit into the long-term plan for that area. We've tried to do our best to come up with a plan that allows us to revitalize an area that's desperately in need of it, that doesn't make it everything dependent on our beach area or these other areas. Broward County's built out, the city of Deerfield Beach is built out. So this allows us the ability, some flexibility. Excellent points as far as the infrastructure. We are very proud of what we've done with the Complete Streets program and tackling that. We're one of the first cities to do that. We are doing a lane elimination, actually, on Hillsborough Boulevard, which this was taken account of, to allow things to be more compatible with multi-use type of transportation, not limiting to just car traffic. So that's something we're very aware of. I would rather not limit the city of Deerfield Beach and put something in here in the last moment that says that, you know, that we have some of these limitations that you're talking about. That is really up to the city of Deerfield Beach to figure out how that works. It's in the best interest of the city of Deerfield Beach to make sure that something like this and whatever development that goes on there is compatible, allows us to be to for people to live, work, and play, including existing businesses, because that is our job. Our job is not to run existing businesses out of the city of Deerfield Beach, or any of us that are in this position that I'm in. So our job is to bring businesses like that in, and we are tasked with trying to find out how we're going to make that compatible. That's something that I think the city will be able to have to work on and handle itself. I would rather not try to limit it and make it handcuff us completely, or the city completely, by putting in what's been suggested. As far as public meetings, I'll give you an idea of how public meetings work. We had a public meeting on the surtax, penny surtax, this week, Tuesday night, well advertised, well put out there at City Hall. We made all the arrangements for it's there. Total attendees, 4.
Yeah.
3 elected officials and one resident, Mr. Parnes. We can have 5 more of these public meetings. We would have 5 more people possibly show up. The public meetings that I've attended, that I've been with through this process, these are unique individuals to come up with these issues. I'm glad they did, because that's something that not only does this board have to consider, but the city of Deerfield Beach has to consider. And they've all made very valid points. I do hope that you support this. This is something that's vital for the city of Deerfield Beach's future. We have tried to do our best in coming up with a plan that we don't lose our character, we improve it, and we try to make it a place where everybody can live, work, and play. So I am asking for support on this.
Okay. I'm just going to make a quick comment. I understand what they're going through, because they sort of mirror what Dania Beach was going through. And sometimes when you're in an older city, you get these hodgepodges of things that come together, and somehow you have to affect some sort of change to make the area better. And so I understand exactly where they're going through. As far as the traffic goes, it's interesting, because I was going to disclose this at the end, but I'll bring it up now. I interviewed with the Sun Sentinel yesterday. They're doing a article on the traffic congestion in Broward County, and they apparently...
Suzanne Brown?
Yes. Well, I gave her all your numbers, and apparently some of you chose to talk or some of you didn't. The first thing I need to say is, I disclosed to her that I was not speaking on behalf of this council, expressing the views of the council, but rather my own. The second thing is, the crux of the article, some of the things we're talking about, and I think where Commissioner Long was heading, and they seized on some minutes from a meeting that, you know, when you say things here, you think no one's ever going to care or read them. Well, apparently that's not true either.
She's convinced.
I know.
She's quoting you as saying...
I know.
You're a believer in letting us overbuild so we can create a traffic problem.
Yeah, no, well,
she actually said that's what you said. I said, that's not what the chair said.
What I said was, is that we are going to make traffic so painful in this county, we're going to force people out of their cars into mass transit, and not to be moved the penny tax, but that would be one of the solutions. So that is the key. And even if we talk multimodal, if somebody can't fund the multimodal, it isn't going to happen. You could build a bus stop, but to Commissioner Castillo's point, it doesn't get the bus there. So I said to her, I have great concerns, just like he's worried, you know, his expression about Deerfield, I've expressed about Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale is nothing but bridges and a tunnel. And God forbid that, you know, three bridges are up and there's a tunnel and you've got to move 7,000 units of people out of town. However, I also told her there's a balance, especially with older cities, because we have problems that are unique that you have to do some redevelopment, and land is so expensive in South Florida, you just can't replace a single family house with a single family house. Not to mention, there's not, the market apparently is in a different direction. So these are very challenging issues, and I don't want the public to get the idea that we're just rubber stamping things all the time. We are aware of these issues and we are concerned about them, and there's multiple agencies and local governments that have to be involved in the solutions. But because I'm familiar with what Deerfield is trying to do, and I think from what the gentleman was telling me, the city is looking at the complete streets, the multimodal. Understand, complete streets is taking a lane out of the highway that everybody's already, is already an F. Why? You're going to move people off the highway. And to Commissioner Long's point, you need to find out where they're going to go to. They're going to have to find another way to go. Hopefully it's not through your new neighborhood, or if it is, you've provided that in your new neighborhood to be that a factor of it. So that's where I was saying, I think as a city, you might want to do a little bit more, and I understand the public meeting thing, but give these individuals your cards so you can at least talk to them and work some things out, maybe get some good ideas from them. I liked Professor Grasso's suggestions, but I think part of them, as I said, isn't under our purview. So I'm going to ask for a motion to either approve or deny the item and second it and go through the vote. But I am prepared to support it because I think Deerfield is, from what I'm hearing them say, going through all the right motions to make sure that people are protected and things are okay.
I'll second Commissioner Gantz's motion. Motion to approve.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
No. One abstention and one opposed. Professor Grasso is opposed. Commissioner Gans abstains. Do you have a form to fill out?
Commissioner Gomez.
Michelle, sorry. Commissioner Gomez, do you have a form to fill out?
I have been given a form.
Perfect. Okay, I want to make sure that. Okay, that concludes the meeting, unless there's anything else anybody has for the good of the county, good of themselves, good of their city.
We meet again
December 1st.
So happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Absolutely, it's a good idea.
The only thing I would close with this is understanding where we are in life, understanding that today is less than 2 weeks before Election Day. Please, if you haven't voted yet.
Oh, there's an election.
And I've gotten to say this pretty proficiently with people. I don't care what you do above the last two questions on the ballot. Vote your conscience. Don't vote your conscience. Vote however you want. But please get to the last two questions on your ballot and become educated on how you should vote with regard to those. If you don't, get used to what we got, because it's going to be the same old, same old. I'm not advocating. I'm just saying, get educated.
And one last thing, just on the traffic from a county thing, is, sorry, Andy. Again, at what point do we say enough is enough, that all the programs we have aren't really changing F levels of service? And at what point does it start affecting the property owners who can't develop anymore? Or will we ever have that?
From a land use perspective and the analysis that we prepare for these land use plan amendments,
we've established a threshold for the, for when there's an adverse impact. And that's what we, that's our consideration in the policy, and that's being carried forward as part of Broward Next. So this is the analysis that you're going to see moving forward. Many of these things come down to complete streets and the implementation on the local roads, and those are things that we don't have control of as part of the county plan. So, and I think Mayor Stermer has said something.
I think, Commissioner, to your question, there's been a somewhat quiet conversation going on for years of whether or not actually TRIPS is actually the method we should continue to use with regard to looking at traffic-related issues. I mean, Mr. Auerhan, who came up with this decades ago, that's where this actually was a genesis from. The question is today, is that still the way we should be gauging traffic and whether or not it's current? I'll use the best word is current, or whether or not there should be a new methodology looked at with regard to how we look at traffic and, my word, count traffic and its impact. And that, I just state that out there for the sake of, there's been a quiet conversation for years of whether TRIPS is the right way.
And the biggest issue with the TRIP count, and we've talked about this for the 10 years I've been sitting here, is the gentleman hit upon it. It doesn't look at what is currently, like, on the ground. It looks like what could be on the ground. So if you have 20 acres of commercial, but there's nothing built there yet, they automatically say, well, today, that has 1,000 trips. Well, no, it doesn't. There's nothing there. But that's their starting point. So then when he says, well, I'm going to change it to half residential, half commercial, that's how it went down. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And I understand that.
It's a fuzzy map.
But as, and maybe we need to...
Fairness, the future is not
going to
be built either.
So, right.
You know,
and that's the problem.
But I think historically, we can see there's been growth in Broward County. It continues on. Even through bad economies, we still have increase in vehicular traffic. I think the big concern is why we count trips and we do it this way, and maybe we need to elevate that conversation. But I think the bad pun, but when the rubber hits the road is when people are stuck in traffic at any time of the day on their major streets and corridors. From Hillsborough to Sample Road to Commercial to Sunrise to Broward, east and west, it's impossible to get down now.
So thank you for advocating for the penny surtax. I appreciate it.
But there has to be a greater conversation on how it affects everybody all the time, not just at peak hours for somebody trying to get out of their neighborhood to get onto 95.
Great.
So.
Anything else?
Gobble, gobble.
We stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. And